Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 166 of the Coffee Club podcast. I hope that you all had an amazing Christmas and are still celebrating, or I don't know, what do you do after celebrating? Hungover, I guess. Recovering, relaxing, just enjoying festivities with some lovely people around you.
Dude, those days between Christmas and New Year's, those are like, that's like the weirdest time of year, actually.
It's like a hiatus of partying.
Yeah.
Like in a hiatus of just like, I don't know what to...
27, 28, 29. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Boxing Day in Australia, I guess, in New Zealand.
A lot of shopping. A lot of shopping.
That's our Black Friday for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason, the Boxing Day saga between Christmas and New Year's
is
like shopping.
Isn't that a crazy, like, consumer dystopia that they've managed to turn the day after Christmas into also a day that's now about buying stuff?
Yeah. You buy stuff for Christmas and you buy stuff after Christmas.
And it's on sale. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just day after Christmas and day after Thanksgiving. Two, like, just massive shopping days.
See, that would annoy me though, because you say you buy like, I don't know, you buy somebody a nice watch and then you go on the window the next day in Boxing Day and see it's like half price. And you're like, fuck, why'd I buy that watch?
You feel like an absolute idiot.
Yeah, they just get you like that.
But this is our last episode of 2024, and what a year it has been. We hope that you all have some nice plans for celebrating the New Year's, whether you're going out and partying or just having a nice little quiet one at home, going to bed before midnight, as I think I've done that in the last 2 years.
I think a lot of people have done. A lot of my friends and family have gotten like they'll watch like the 10 o'clock fireworks or the 9 o'clock fireworks. That's back smart. Home in Australia, and then they just go to bed.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the Australia ones and then go to bed. So yeah. I'll have it out of the way about 15 hours in advance.
Pretty early on.
Well, what am I supposed to do? New Zealand's the first country in the world.
That is crazy.
Is it New Zealand the first one?
Yeah, I think so. Wait, maybe there's like a Pacific island that's like 1 hour ahead.
Is it like Fiji or something?
What's Antarctica? What's the time zone down there?
All of them. I don't know. They got all the time zones, don't they?
They do have all the time zones. Yeah,
they do spread across, I guess.
I think there's one island in the Pacific that they switched from like the very last country to the very first country by just deciding.
That's a power move.
Because they just wanted, so now they're like 1 hour ahead of New Zealand or
it's
something.
It's way cooler being the very first than the last. Yeah. So they just skipped a day at one point in their history.
I think they literally did. I think they skipped a day on the calendar.
I love that.
It's kind of crazy.
So yeah, what are your guys' plans for this New Year's?
Well, I'm going to Vail with Meg and some of her friends. A friend of hers has like a little family lives up in Vail, about 50 minutes away. We're going to go up there. There'll be some celebrations, fireworks, some good music, good vibes. My mum is also coming in. So that's very exciting. Mama Whore. Mrs. Hoare.
Is that what they like to call her?
Mrs. Hoare, yeah. So
Keisha's leaving Greg behind for Christmas.
For New Year's.
New Year's.
Yeah. Well, my dad and my brother are just going to be like on a bender, just partying. You know, just getting after it, going out to Dom Dollar and Chris Lake concerts.
No, but Kate doesn't want to be a part of that.
Nah, mum wants to come party at Meow Wolf in Denver. So she booked the tickies and she's coming. But she's Mrs. Hoare, Kate the Great, Kate the Average. She's coming in on New Year's Eve, but she's coming in late and I'm going to be in Vail. And she kind of booked it when I didn't really know what her plans was and I already had my plans. But she's going to come in and look after Gus and spend New Year's with Gus. Chill out.
Great company.
Watch a movie. Relax. She'll have a nice little New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day. We're gonna hit the 2025 year with some fun with Mum and I. And she wants to go straight to Canoe Club and buy some expensive shit. So
there's no way.
Are you sure she wants to do that? Or what you want to do?
Well, let's just say I'm good at influencing my parents. But she we're gonna do some fun stuff. We're in Boulder. She's gonna go skiing.
Is that because like January? Like you've started a new budget, so
you can put new Canoe Club budgets up. Yeah. It's actually doubled from last year. Wow. Yeah.
Did you go double over the budget last year? Is that why?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a simple adjustment.
It's just I like wearing stuff.
That costs money.
That costs way too much money. But and also the stuff's sick. But in general, yeah, my mum's coming in, so that's gonna be exciting. Vail will be really, really fun with Meg and her friends. Obviously crashing that, so it'll be fun. And then I think we're working out the next day. I think The 1st of Jan is a workout day.
The 2nd. I think the 31st is a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, so yeah, it would be just a regular run.
It could be wrong.
Wednesday. It'd be neuromuscular day, so it's a big day already. But that's my plans. What about you, George?
You know what? I think there's a chance I'll make midnight this year.
Really?
Because what you realize when you go in the summer, it's so much easier to make it to midnight.
That is true. That is true.
Because it's light until like 10 p.m. And when you're here and it goes dark at like 4:30, it's like, shit, I got it. That's another 8 hours. In New Zealand, it's like a couple hours.
Easy.
Easy.
Yeah, what time does it get dark like in New Zealand? Like 9, 10?
Definitely after 9, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Dark, I think. I'll let you know. I'm actually there. So I generally just
manifesting right now. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Do you have any traditions? Is there a Beamish New Year's party, like drinks, dancing?
Not New Year's. Lots of Christmas traditions.
A lot of Christmas stuff. There's nothing New Year's. You guys don't do anything. Simon pulls out a lamb and start dancing with us some shit.
That's Christmas.
I mean, it's probably happened before. Christmas,
yeah.
But that sounds like Christmas.
They dress it up in tinsel.
It's Christmas.
But okay, that'd be fun though. That'd be nice. Be nice and warm as well, right, George?
That's the plan.
Get away from the freaking cold, bro.
Training, hopefully.
Training, yeah. Crushing it.
Yeah. I guess we'll be training, but yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing yet. Well, to be determined, we shall see what
TBD Boulder Aspen scene
brings us. Aspen, well, that'd be before New Year's if I go. That'd be.
You could always come to Vail with me and Megan and fam. No, seriously, like there's like an open invite to whatever wants to come. I just don't know who's here because most people are away.
I am trying to plan. I guess this is fine to say because it will have either be happened or not. Actually, it's not good to say because if it doesn't happen, then I kind of look bad. If you think about it.
Could you say that potentially? Or it'd be.
There's a real big potential that I was planning going up to a mountain town with Cinta, maybe Aspen, but as a Christmas present. Mm. But I don't know. I'm trying to weigh it up against, you know, the pros and cons. Mm. It's not easy to go up. I mean, Aspen's... I was talking to my mom because her and dad went up to Aspen, I think, last year. And they said getting back from Aspen was a real shit show.
Because of the
Because the weather and the traffic. Yeah, it's like, you can just get stuck there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so it's just... We're weighing up the pros and cons right now.
Well, but if it doesn't happen, you just cut this bit out.
Yeah, I'll just go into the YouTube studio, mute segment. This will just be a silent part of the podcast for about 5 minutes. So, yeah.
Honestly, if the whole team was here, you know, the freshman karaoke kind of thing that we had,
yeah, that'd be a great crazy New Year's party.
That'd be a great New Year's party if we just did karaoke together and games as a team. If everyone was here, that'd have been like super fun, I think, for us.
Yeah, actually, so this year, the team, I think like the time that we're supposed to be back post New Year's is a little bit, post Christmas, sorry, is a bit later than other years because I think in previous years, almost everyone has been back around New Year's time because we've had our first kind of indoor track workouts a bit earlier, like even like January 3rd or something.
I think 28, 29 is when we usually had to get back, like pretty early after Chrissy.
Yeah.
Unless you were international. If you were international, you had more time.
This year, I think it's more like January 5th or so. So yeah. It's a bit later this year, so I don't know who'll be around for actual New Year's, but hopefully there are some teammates. But yeah, we do have more internationals now, and they're obviously not expected to be back quite as early.
When's our big boy Falcon coming back? Does he
around the 5th?
First
the
week fifth? Again.
Okay, yeah. Nice. I'm already missing him at practice.
Yeah, he's a great presence, very reliable, just loves to put in the work, trains at such a high level.
Yeah,
and good also vibes, that, drives that a sick car.
That car him driving around in the winter, I just can't wait to see that.
It's going
to
be interesting when we do just get dumped on and it's like undrive, at the moment it's like drive. It just always melts like the next day because it's warm enough, but you get into January, February and it can hang around for weeks at a time.
Yeah, he's going to have to get some good tires put on that thing, but
that'd be great.
We'll be all back together, so maybe we'll have to celebrate as a team a late New Year's party or something along those lines. Our first track workout can be like we can celebrate it that day because everyone will be back for that except for George. Sorry, George.
Except for George.
But as we do every year, as is tradition, we're going to go through a little recap on 2024. And I think the way that we'll do it this time is going through a few of the highs and lows of 2024. And I think this can be like a personal thing, but also it doesn't have to be that personal, however you want to make it. I don't know if you boys know where you want to go with this, Ollie.
Yeah, no.
Kick us off again?
I'll start with lows and then end on a high note. I think low for me was probably the Olympics performance-wise, and some of the stuff with the Olympics. for me, like, the Olympics was an amazing experience, but overall, for me, the other stuff in the year, definitely on the lower side of it. Another low for me, personally, which is, like, you know, I feel like I can say this. Jordan leaving the team, I think, for me is a low, because I really appreciate having Jordan around, and obviously I wish, you know, we wish him all the best, and he's going to do an amazing job wherever he goes, but having him around has been amazing. So seeing him go obviously was sad. And other than that, highs for me, Diamond League win was sick.
It's a good high.
And also, I think for me, one of the bigger highs, running related wise, was our trip to Australia. I really enjoyed our trip to Australia. In Adelaide, I think it was amazing. Being able to come back and race and run and be a part of the Australian kind of, you know, track and field feeling leading up to the Olympics. It was just a cool thing to be there and kind of just soak it in, because there's not many times we get to compete home, particularly such like a big pivotal competition like it is with nationals leading into the Olympics. So, and me and Morgan and Dathan were in a cool little Airbnb in Adelaide. Coffee was sweet. The weather was great.
It's a good time.
We had a kitty that had visited us.
Bean.
Yeah, it was unreal. So that's a high. And just, I feel like overall, like my time with people on the team as well as, you know, my girlfriend and my family and stuff, it's been real positive. And that for me, I don't take for granted, because there's always going to be ups and downs, but I feel like everybody definitely brought me up this year. So it felt really good. So I appreciate that. That's my highs and lows.
You run that trip back in Perth this year?
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. That's Nathan's plan. It's very far.
I don't
though.
Think so though.
It's very far.
I can't imagine us spending 3 weeks in Perth.
The thing is, I think Dathan did the trip to Adelaide, but Adelaide's closer to Sydney. Like,
well, I don't think Dathan will be in Perth. I think it's
but
too
just
hard.
Explaining it to him, like, it's yeah. far away. Like, we'd have to be out in Perth a little bit before, just to get our legs kind of under us. I think
if we go to nationals this year, we'll stay in Sydney and then just travel to Perth the week of the race.
The week of the race, you reckon?
That I just think sense. I think it's not worth it.
Is it 4 or 5 hours? To Perth, like LA to New York kind of travel, right?
Is it equivalent?
Like that.
Is it even
not
further?
Not quite as far.
Well, not as far.
Well,
we'd have to get fact checked on that.
I think longitude, latitude, which one's which? Longitudinally, it's
longitude,
more similar, similar plane. So maybe it's not as far flying. I don't know, man.
It's honest. Freaking far.
I mean, it's far though. No matter what. Far. It's very far away. So we'll see what happens when it gets to nationals time. But also it's not... Like, I guess nationals is essentially equally as important, but it's not an Olympic year, so maybe it's like slightly less important.
It'd be cool if you, me, and Kai go in, because that'd be kind of fun.
It would be fun. Squad.
Get the squad going. You could also race a George if you wanted to.
I could, and so could everyone else.
That's true. George, right, whole team's coming. We'll start that rumor for the how many years in a row that we're going to take a trip
that
down on
really,
whole team.
That'd be a really good way for them to change that rule. If our whole team just goes down and just wins every race.
Is there a limit to entries?
No.
Can't be, right?
I don't think so.
They would change that rule. Because
I don't think they
can
would.
You imagine? Dathan just brings the whole squad in. Joe wins the 5K or the 10K or whatever. Morgan wins the 5K. Kai, like, we just
I think they were winning the same event.
But like, we just like take out like all the top
the
three.
The 10K also has already happened, but.
We just take out the top three. Sage wins the 800.
Actually, Cinta I'll tell you what would maybe... cause them to change the rules if you brought your whole team and then you did some like really egregious team tactics with non-Australians like sacrificing themselves. That'd be the way to
like pacing athletes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be the way to do it.
In the sprints they could take up just so many lanes if you really did want
to enter.
Yeah,
I don't know how
and
that
then there'd be,
works.
Like what if there were just like no Australians left in the race? I mean, for that to happen though, it'd have to be a lot of people.
It'd be pretty funny, but yeah.
It would be really funny if that happened though. Like the whole USA team just comes in for our nationals.
Let's make it. I think, I mean, the thing is, Australia is not the only nationals which is other people can compete in. I think, well.
New Zealand's the same.
I know a lot of the European ones, anyone can compete. You just need to be part of, registered with the club, which might even be the same for Australia, to be honest. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think we could go to Europe and race some different.
That'd
national
be kind of fun, actually.
There as well.
Except I don't want to race the UK one. That one seems fucking nervous.
I don't know, about that one if you can.
That's just a good idea. It's a good idea for like some racing practice.
Particularly championship races.
Yeah, get in some more championship races.
Let's look into that.
Pick a country.
Mm. I mean, that would be sick.
I definitely, like if I won the Swiss National Championships, I'm definitely claiming that I'm Swiss National Champion as well.
Does that get you Swiss like citizenship?
Automatically. Yeah. I'd love it if you like you just beat Jonas and Jonas, you're like, yeah, I'm a Swiss champion. And Jonas is like, what are you doing?
He would hate that.
Jonas would crush me in that race. I think he's won it about 20 times. So yeah. That's his race.
He's a 20-time undefeated Swiss champ.
That's his race, baby.
Weeding was a New Zealand champ. I guess I don't know if it was called that, but he came to New Zealand champs and he won.
That's the wording is important. He won New Zealand nationals, but he wasn't New Zealand champ.
That is true. They share the podium. I shared the podium once at Aussie champs and cross. Nice. Had to scratch up.
Who did you share it with? Do we know him?
No, but Mitch Dwyer was in front of me. It was Rainer, Mitch, straight at it for everyone that doesn't know who that is. Me and some guy on the third podium. Because nice. I was third, and then the guy who got fourth was actually third.
Cool, cool, cool.
So, yeah, straight at it has that one over me.
Nice.
Rainer finished about 5 minutes ahead of us.
Yeah.
Rainer in high school was just an absolute beast. I mean, he still is.
He still is, yeah.
But he was so far ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
He's also got some cool tattoos, man.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
He's got some cool tattoos.
And great mustache.
Yeah, his mustache is pretty good. I mean, is it as good as Joe Klecker's? That's a debate. That's a debate right
they
there.
He is the Australian Joe Klecker.
They're different ones, though, because Joe keeps his clean, whereas Rainer lets his get, I think, as scrappy as possible.
Yeah, Rainer, Rainer looks more like a pirate, where Joe looks more like a cowboy.
It's a really good way of putting
that's
it.
That's a great summary of that.
Yeah.
You've done well there.
And I look like, I don't know what I look like a...
I know what you want to say, but I don't think...
Have you seen Ollie and Myers have same haircut now?
Yeah, yeah. Buzzy.
Ken Myers?
Although I think his hair's a bit shorter than mine.
Mine's
got a little bit at the top, but everyone's buzzing their hair now. Mine wants the buzz. But he looks really good with the buzzed head, man. He looks amazing.
Yeah,
he looks really good. He'll crush it with that hair because all that seconds, all those...
Aerodynamic, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to break important. All those records with less hair now.
Very important.
But, Well, we could always just push that for the Australian champs, just make everyone come down.
Make it happen. George, you got any...
We really went on a...
Tangent there.
Ran a tangent there. 2024. Probably comes as no surprise. Some possibly the highest high and the lowest low of George's running to date.
All in 1 year.
I knew that in asking this question, it was just going to be like, what was your best running moment this year and what was your worst for the three of us? Our lives are dedicated to the sport.
To the sport, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, for you especially.
I reached the top in some regards.
The dizzy heights.
Yeah, became world champ. That was pretty fun. Had a great start to the year. And actually it was not even just like obviously racing well and a medal was very cool, but also just enjoying the training a lot. It took me 4 years to train at the level that our team trains at, like that everyone else trains at basically. And I, you know, started doing that in the fall, and that was like a big jump for me. And I like I kind of was noticed on the around team, and like it took me from 2020 until my fourth year on team to start training like that. And I lasted 4 or 5 months probably of training like that, made it through to March, and really enjoyed like being able to train like just basically on that level,
ticking all the boxes.
Yeah. And it's like, and then I realized that because then, you know, people join the team now and train like that from day one. And it's like, it's
actually
it's
insane.
Very impressive.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. Like, it's insane because like, it definitely wasn't like that for us when we joined.
Well, for you,
it was for you and Joe,
you
definitely.
You and Joe set the bar pretty high the first year.
Mario and Yara trained like that week one. Yeah. Same with all the new guys, and it's very impressive.
They just like line in and they're just like crushing it. It's crazy, yeah. Man.
And it was really nice being able to, you know, I got through to, you know, from November through to March training like that, and you know, felt like I was set up to have a crack at having a go at winning the Olympics. Like that's really the spot I was in, mentally and somewhat physically. And yeah, unfortunately, yeah, things unraveled a little bit, and that's the way the sport goes. Like, nothing, you know, you don't deserve anything in this sport, and nothing's given to you, and you realize how many things have to line up. And you know, what feels like something small can derail really quickly. And so yeah, taking a lot of learnings from 2024, and hopefully I can put those to use in 2025, and you know, get back to some of those, that point I was at, where, yeah, it was just like a feeling during the winter that, like running, I feel like I felt like, I don't know, maybe what some other, like running was just very easy.
You just felt on top of things.
Like, you go out for a run and it, you know, for a few months, and that's a lot for me, like running felt good. And that was really fun. Mm. And then it felt really bad for the past like 8 months, six or 7 months. And that's just how it goes. Sometimes.
You just had a runner's high for a few months and then runner's withdrawal for 8 months. And then you're like, fuck this shit. I'm going to the islands to get a break.
Yeah. I mean, and shit, I loved being at the Olympics, and I was really proud of the race I was able to put together. Of just like unbelievable pain, and I'm really proud that I was able to represent New Zealand there, and like actually run a race that, you know, I thought I was, yeah, took a lot to run that hard and put myself in it, and I'm really grateful that I was able to go and run in Paris. And yeah, I really thought, yeah, thought there was, I could have won the Olympics. And that's how it goes. That's what it's like. And I think I was at that level the months earlier. Like, the people that won and the people that medaled in Glasgow ran really fucking well in Paris.
Yeah.
Cole, Hobbs, Josh, Jared, Bryce, none of them finished worse than fifth at the Olympics. Like, the level you had to be at in Glasgow was extremely high, and like, I was really cool to see that I was able to get to that level with the training I could put in for 3 or 4 months. So I'm going to try to do that again in 2025. Yeah, learn a lot in 2024, and yeah, you win or you learn, they say.
Yeah.
So I won, and then I did learning after that. Losing and learning. Yeah, and otherwise, Had a nice time. Yeah, really grateful to be on the team and to be on the team for a few more years after this. Gonna stick around Boulder.
They can't get rid of us that easily, eh, boys?
Nah.
No, not yet. Not yet, not unless we say something really egregious on this podcast that gets us kicked off.
Let's see how far we can push it.
Yeah. Yeah, you did have a very dramatic year.
Mm.
I mean, all our years had drama, maybe different degrees at different moments in the year, because my highs and lows, when I'm thinking on the personal level, obviously going to be very similar in terms of, there were some tough times in the running, missing out on the Olympic final by one spot was difficult. I had, like, I felt like early, like during the indoors, I had some pretty challenging times where I knew I was improving and I was in better shape than I'd been in for like many years, but I still was not at the level that I wanted to be in order to achieve my goals and to be able to just go and race like how I would like to race. And it's really difficult to have that perspective of kind of, you know, feeling good along the journey when you still always have that voice in the back of your mind that's like, I want to be the best. I want to, you know, achieve all these things. It's a lot easier when you are on top and you can just turn up to a race and focus on winning it, you know? And then you know that, you know, you just go out there, you try to race, you don't have to think, it really simplifies things. So I had a lot of times where it was really difficult because I would have my hopes really, really high for a race and then I wouldn't quite achieve what I wanted to achieve. But at the same time, I was healthy, so I had so much to be thankful for. And things were moving in the right direction. And so I suppose, like, yeah, my high was finally running, like, an outdoor PB after it had been, I think, 3 years running, like, a PB outdoors. And, yeah, just getting in that consistent training finally. And, yeah, it still wasn't, like, quite the level that I wanted to be at. And I think finally now, like in this moment, I'm getting up to the level that I've wanted to be training at for so many years. And that is an amazing feeling. You okay, Ollie? Ollie's dying off camera. For anyone there.
It's just emotional.
He's crying. He's breaking
it's
down.
Just, I'm just getting, I mean, I've known you for a long, long time. It's just all coming up.
He's breaking
Sorry.
Down. He's breaking down. I know it's sad. But yeah, so that was it was hard a lot of the time because of that. But yeah, I did have a lot of highs. Being in the Olympics with the team was awesome. I mean, I think we will get a little bit more into the Olympics, but the Olympics was, as it probably always is for like a big team, just such a freaking roller coaster for everyone, I would say. But yeah. PB, Olympics, sweet. Oh, he's dying. And so as I was saying, well, I can't remember what I was saying. Something about highs and lows.
Are you talking about how you ran a PB 13 flat?
Yeah, highs, PBs, being at the Olympics. There was so many other great experiences along the way, but in terms of like actual performance, like I guess the PB was kind of it. Like I was dissatisfied a lot of races. But then at the end of the season, I mean, probably like, especially non-running related, some of my biggest highs was like the end, the postseason, like with Cinta. It was pretty amazing, the experiences that we were able to have. Well, one, watching her just crush it at the end, obviously for me was like, oh, that was amazing to see. So then to get to spend time with her in Italy and then go on like the life-changing trip that we went on through Ethiopia and stuff. Like, I mean, I already spoke about it on the podcast, but that was definitely I don't know what the right word is, craziest, or I don't even know. But yeah, one of the biggest things I guess I've done in my life to date. And so to be able to squeeze that in, like, still, like, as a pro runner, like, after the Olympics was, like, really cool. Because I think often as a pro runner, you know, it's actually quite hard to, like, do other life stuff that you might want to do along the way. So yeah, that was an amazing experience that we had. So I guess that's kind of like my highs and lows. And I think, I mean, Jordy already touched on this a lot, but like the lessons learned from that, I don't know if you guys have any other specific lessons that you want to touch on, but for me, a couple were just like, I mean, and you always know this, but then you get like these constant reminders of like just the importance of doing what's the best for you specifically, which is one of those things that sounds nice on paper. It's because it's not like in real life, you actually always know what the best thing is for you. But I think especially as our team continues to grow, that will become increasingly important. And that's something that like each of us as individuals has to work out. Like, you know, with Dathan and with like the other people that you confide in, whatever is the best for you, because I'm sure there'll be times when, I mean, I've experienced this, there's times where if you just go along with like what's happening, then it might not always be what's best for you, depending if you're dealing with something else, you know? So I think that was something that once again was like, I felt like was a lesson learned, and just simply like putting in the work. I feel like I've been maybe afraid of putting, not afraid of putting in the work, but I've always been hesitant to overdo it because I have had so many injuries. And so just learning that, like, everyone knows this as well, but to be as good as we want to be, you have to put in the work. And so you have to find, link to my first point, you have to find the way that you're able to put in the work. And that's how you're going to achieve your goals and your dreams. So coming off this past year, those are things that are once again kind of cemented, and like I'm thinking about them going forwards, I guess. I don't know if you guys have any similar lessons learned.
Does it give you more confidence to train like that? Because like because the longer it's been since a major injury kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. You obviously become a lot more resilient, especially with the injuries that I had, like not really my knee so much, but with my ankle, that was something that like was pretty messed up for a long time and did take a long time to get better and did have impacts, like lingering impacts on the way my body felt. And the more consistent training I get, the more better everything feels. And so despite the fact that I'm training at the highest level that I've ever trained right now, my body also feels the best it's ever felt. So yeah, as you get through that process, you know, the callousing of your body, or like the, you just gain resilience, you know? I mean, even though you did end up having a major injury, I think you've come out on the other side and your body is still so, I can tell that you're still really strong in a lot of ways that maybe in the past, like, you didn't have. And so for me, I feel way better than, I just feel better. So I feel confident that I can train harder. And it feels like the training isn't nearly as much of a leap. Like the training that I, because it was such a process, the training now feels right, when maybe at certain points since I joined the team, the training that I wanted to do didn't feel quite right. It felt like a bit too much of a jump.
You got any lessons learned?
Not to take soul workouts too seriously.
What's a soul workout?
Like one workout.
Oh.
I feel like for me, particularly this year, because I didn't have the base I wanted, and I like started running in February and had to pretty much hit the ground running. Every workout I did, I thought was like a failure because I didn't run something crazy or didn't do something I did a year ago. And I think that was just not the right way to approach it. It was a very negative way to approach it. And every workout like is just another, you know, string to the bow. So
how many strings do you need on your belt?
17. Need 17 good workouts. No, in general, I think like...
I think that makes sense for you though, because
I just every workout I crushed. Like before I got
injured. I was about to say, you were someone, every workout was so easy. Every workout was better than every other workout you'd ever done.
Like every time. And then I had a big setback with my injury, and then I had another injury because I didn't correctly adjust it. And then I went into every workout thinking, this is a failure, I'm a failure, I'm shit now. I'm not the same athlete I once was. And I think that was such a negative way to see it. Very negative way to see it. And I think for me, and Ritz did see that, like we had a sat down conversation near the end of the season. And he said, look, like these next few races, they're probably not going to be great. You've just burnt out. You don't have the strength. You haven't done the workouts that you've done in the past few years, but it's okay. It's fine. You've come this far. You've done a really, you know. And I needed to hear that from somebody else. And I think that gave me a good perspective. Like, hey, let's just chill out. If I, you know, if workouts early on in this year, if I get dropped or if I'm not where I need to be, it's okay. It'll all work. So I'm still the same guy. I'm just a guy. I'm just some guy, you know. It'll all work itself out. I've been able to crush workouts before. I'll be able to crush workouts again. And I just had to have a bit of a real, just a bit of a more relaxed approach and be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't get so fucking
You don't ever need to crush a workout.
No, you don't.
You just need to do them all.
Apparently Josh Kerr like runs 8 minute pace for every single run he does, except for his workouts.
He
just crushes his workouts and then just jogs.
Yeah. So you do need a crush him, or you don't need it?
I need a crush him even harder now. I need to like go harder.
Oh, he needs to crush his easy runs. Workouts.
All right.
So I'm gonna start a thing called Hall Miles now. Yeah, you got clicker miles, you're going to haul miles.
All right, what pace are we talking?
Is that another minute faster?
It's actually, what it is, it's 5 minute pace, but it's 5 minute pace for half the run, and then the second half of the run, it's 8 minute pace.
That's a good run when you average that out.
Yeah. Dathan will never know because I don't have splits in my watch. Thanks, George.
You know Strava? Well, actually, Rich doesn't go on Strava.
I don't have Strava anyway, so.
Oh, you don't have it? No. Yeah. Because Strava still puts the splits in. It's sneaky like that.
Oh, really?
Well, so Koros will actually also put the splits in. It's just Final Surge won't.
Love that.
So if Fritz could see you the actual watch, he'd see them. But Final Surge says, nah.
Nah.
Love that.
Final Surge looks like it's a million years old.
That's probably because it is.
Get the job done.
It hasn't changed one little bit.
Can't wait till we just move over to Slack.
Slack.
Slack training.
We become a real business.
Or we go back to logs, Morgan, every week. The email.
Yeah, and Excel spreadsheets.
And then Mick would respond in an email saying, good job, see you tomorrow. Yeah. I'd write like a 3-page
email. I had a lot of Excel in college.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good way to do it.
It works pretty well.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
Yeah. So moving on to a more, just looking at 2024 in general, obviously the peak for our sport was the Paris Olympics. Do we think it lived up to the hype?
I think so. It was the first Olympics in 8 years that it had spectators because of Tokyo. And
maybe 12. I've seen some videos from Rio.
Yeah.
There were some empty stadiums.
Yeah.
Don't want to hate on that. That's a little bit mean.
No, but I think the Paris stepped up. I think
it was incredible. Turned up.
It was incredible. The stadium was amazing. Like, from a track and field
morning sessions,
it was amazing.
Would just be completely packed.
It was
like sold out in the morning.
Vibes were crazy.
Great vibes.
The French fans, when they'd see a French person, or like when the crowd, they wouldn't even be watching like who's winning the race. They're just like fucking yelling as loud as they can for whoever is French.
Or when the song came on, Free From Desire. That was like, yeah.
So good.
Got the people going. Yeah, Olympics was amazing, huh?
They did a very good job.
Even though none of us competed how we wanted,
yeah,
we still got a once-in-a-lifetime experience out of it. And yeah, they did an amazing job for our, like, from the athlete's perspective, especially I think being in athletics, it was like so smooth, so amazing, so nice. So, tick, tick, tick. Amazing performances went down at the Olympics as well. So, from a spectator standpoint, I think it was also pretty damn epic.
What was your favorite performance? You had to pick one.
Like,
on the track?
Mm-hmm. Like, not including the marathon.
Yeah, aside from Cinta's performance, because that was very special. I was crying after that one. Jakob winning the 5K. Jakob winning the 5K and then playing his own song after it. Because that's the coolest thing that's ever happened.
I'd probably say Cole. But I think mostly because, like, a minute on the start line, like, because I was in the stadium to watch, because I think it was the night after my race, and you could just go as an athlete, it was sick. And I was watching with my family, and, like, Hugo, my brother, looks over and is like, what do you think? Who you got? And I was like, you know what? I don't see anyone beating Cole. And 3 minutes later, it was...
That is cool.
Blew it away.
It is the way it kind of played out.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I loved that race.
200 for me.
Tobogo?
I think that was just sick.
Yeah.
I think that was just cool. Like, for, like,
the was distance events. Anti-Noah Lyles?
No, not necessarily. The distance events were amazing. And that's like where I'm from. But seeing an event that I don't really know that much about, seeing that performance was sick. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, Tobogo, it did. I'd say he came out of the Olympics as like the coolest athlete.
It was fucking sick. I thought it was cool. And like, you know what? For a lot of those people stepping up and competing, and I have to special mention Jess Hull.
Yeah,
getting
amazing.
Silver. Amazing.
Getting it done.
He was amazing.
One thing, running 350. Which is also equally amazing. But then, yeah, coming through and getting a silver medal in the such an event that's at its peak.
It wasn't like an easy silver medal. It was fucking hardly fought.
And she looked
fast.
Good the whole time.
She did.
And it's hard because she was like the supposed silver medal all year, like behind Faith. But that makes it almost even harder to actually go and do it.
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't play out exactly how it's written up in the script. Yeah. So it's true.
For actually making it happen.
Yeah. So, agreed. What do we think? I think George wrote this one down. What will it take for Jakob to admit there is a rivalry with Josh in 2025? I don't think he's ever going to.
I can't believe he still says it's not. That's hilarious. 2024, still not a rival.
He lives in his own world too much.
This is the thing with it, because Josh beat him in the 15. He beat him. But Jakob still wins all the races.
Yeah, and Jakob like looks at the thing is, you know how Jakob looks at that race. He doesn't look as Josh winning. He looks at it as he lost
him
it.
Him losing.
Because of the way he raced. He says like, he doesn't say like, oh, this guy was like better than me today. He says like, oh, I pushed it too hard, so I lost.
Yeah.
That's how he thinks about
that's
it.
His mentality. Like, he can't think that he's not better than anybody else.
He definitely thinks he's the best. He's made that very clear many times.
Yeah. But so. There is 100% a rivalry there, and everybody's seen it. He's even fueled into it by making comments.
Big time.
Except for, was it Pri, or which one was the one where Josh said to Jakob, I like the way, like, they said that they had to say one nice thing about each other. Do you remember that?
Pri was the one that, I don't know if they said that at Pri, but Pri was the one where it was them two and Jared in the press conference, and there was so much hype going into it.
Yeah.
That was like the most hyped up matchup between them, probably.
And then, like, I think Josh said, oh, I like the way, was it that I like the way Jakob dress?
I don't remember any of this ever happening.
And then
that's amazing.
Jakob said to Josh, I like your mentality or something like that. I don't know. It was something like Jakob took the high road in that, but I can't remember what he said.
Really? I remember when I watched the series on them after that pre-Fontaine one. He was like just talking shit about Josh. He was just like, this guy talks so much shit about me online, and then I see him in person. He's so nice to me. Like, say something to my face.
Is that what he said in the actual thing?
Yeah.
The funniest thing in the doc, which I think you told me, Morgs, was that he was kind of a cheeky guy in the doc.
He's super cheeky, man.
And he was like, his wife was on the phone when he was at Pri. And he's like, oh, I have to like go train or something.
Just hangs up.
Hangs up, and he's like, and then he looks at the camera and goes, I lie. I'm going to play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Like, as you obviously see it as well.
He's very cheeky.
Yeah, so I kind of love that. I kind of love it. I also love the, just another Jakob-related story from 2024. Was it Kai that plays Pokemon Go as well?
No, it was Ed Trippus.
Oh, it was Trippus. So Trippus would be in the top of the leaderboard.
They're staying in the same building in St. Moritz.
Yeah, so do you want to explain, like, the kind of thing that
pretty much there was a
about.
Gym in Pokemon Go. There was a gym right next to them, and Jakob is known to be a night owl. So Ed, before he goes to bed every night, would do the battle and take over the gym, and then he'd wake up every morning, and Jakob would have taken it back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, classic Jakob. Yeah, it's hard not to.
It's hard not to love him.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to some more Jingyi content in 2025.
Yeah.
It's also going to be interesting with the slam. Like, will he be a challenger? Will he go into that? Or will
I
he just
feel
avoid
like he's
it
not
and
going
stay
to.
In Diamond
I feel
League?
Like he's going to, like, out of pride or, like, stubbornness.
I think,
like,
if he did, he'd do the other one.
3K, 5K?
Sure. I think it's more likely.
But wouldn't you think for him, if he, like, and he believes he's the best runner, wouldn't you think, okay, I'm going to prove it. I'm just going to come to slam, win, and then not come back?
Yeah, but I guess you could also say, like, he kind of proves it by, like, winning, like, 80% of the Diamond Leagues or whatever he does. Because those are also pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So it is different because it isn't, it's pacemaker. It's different, but yeah, I think he's probably going to stick to that. They're probably going to be paying him so much to do that this year. So.
Yeah, so much more money.
Makes sense. Do we have any best unexpected moments of 2024? My one that I had down when I was racking my brains. When I do these things, it makes me realize how terrible my memory was because I've kind of shut out everything from this past year. I'm already, like, looking forwards. But I was, like, trying my best to think of what was the craziest moment in the track and field athletics world. And I think one of them, at least, that came to my mind was the whole saga with Fred Kerley at the New York meet. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah.
When he...
blaming his blocks being broken or something.
He had just broken up with Asics like the day before, turned up in either Puma, I think it was Puma Spikes, possibly Nike, but I think Puma. And then he, I think they held them for a long time. And then I think he walks like all the way up and down the track before the thing. And then, he false started, blamed his blocks. And then I think he said they were holding them for too long, and then he decided not to race. Or he DQ'd, I can't remember.
He DQ'd himself.
And then he won an Olympic medal?
And then he came back
and got
to win an Olympic medal.
Pretty incredible. I don't think a lot of people saw that one coming.
It was just, because you know that he was probably, he must have been ASIC's highest paid track athlete. Like, he was getting paid
millions.
Buckets from them. So to give that up in an Olympic year, just probably such a legal nightmare. Like what he did, I would imagine.
He also, I think he, because he signed with Nike, he had to let go of Oakley as well.
I don't think he did sign with Nike. No, I don't think he did.
After the Olympics, yeah.
Really? Why would he have to He had to let go at Oakley.
Because Nike make.
I thought he was racing in Oakley. I guess. I don't remember that.
Neither.
Yeah. So
whatever Fred Curley did was unexpected every time.
That's just Fred Curley in a nutshell.
Yeah. Makes some awesome.
Kind of why you love him.
Yeah. Definitely is. Was there anything else that was like big
for me? For me personally, it's a sad one, but I think Mo Keeley Hodgkinson is not match up. No match up at the Olympics. That was unexpected.
You're right. USA.
Huge, unexpected. And also sad to see.
I believed
Sage was going to make the team. She was good enough. She was so good. It was like, she's going to make this team. And that was very unexpected in a very sad, sad way. And also a thing Mo falling. And yeah, not being in that Olympic matchup was crazy to me, which just gave. I mean, it really still like the 800 so stacked that it's still, you know, crazy to get through each section of it and try and win. But to have one of the best 800 meter women runners ever not go to the Olympics is crazy and unexpected. So
that was a good one. Sad, but good.
Sad one. Sad, unexpected one. But one that definitely did not see coming, for sure. Yeah.
I would never have said the American 800 record would go down without a medal for Bryce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
42 something American record, but no medal.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about it, but the men's 800 as a whole was...
Just blew out
one of
the
craziest
water.
Events this year.
Yeah.
Just they took it personally the years before. They're getting hate.
Yeah,
for not being a good event.
And then they just said, hold my 141.
We're all around 141 every weekend. For
what
the
about
next
the guy that did the back-to-back 141s a week apart?
The
Algerian.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Back-to-back 141s.
What's his name again?
Sajadi.
Sajadi,
that's the one. Yeah, that was crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So yeah, that is a good one as well. That is unexpected for sure. So yeah, anything else that happened in this year? Too much, really.
So much.
Oh no, honestly, for me, unexpected, Mark Smith. Yeah, that was unexpected.
That's a good one, actually.
Because like, honestly, like me and Mark will have an interesting relationship.
That's true.
And you
know
what?
I'm putting it lightly.
I'm calling it a relationship. He's probably calling it, I don't know what you're talking about. But him going pro with Nike, starting up that team, with athletes staying with him that aren't Nike sponsored and will get the Nike budget for travel and all the other stuff, to me is unexpected and kind of crazy.
Yeah, Nike's desperation.
Yeah, the Nike desperation to have somebody else other than Jerry Schumacher, Pete Julian. I guess the OTC are gone now. But
the thing is, it is desperation, but it's also the smartest thing they've done in a long time in terms of the pro running world.
I would say so.
Yeah. And now your dynasty is over. Cornfield's reign will come through, but Mike Smith's chapter is closing, and now he's opening up into this new world of just professional running, which means to me, George, will he travel? Because
I hope so.
Will he travel to these meets? Or will he say, because it was funny in Hawaii, he was pretty much just like texting all his athletes saying, oh, just do whatever everybody else is doing. I was like, that's the great coach, Michael Smith. There.
That's why he's paid the big bucks.
That's why he's paid the big bucks. He doesn't want anybody in that field knowing what he knows, what he's thinking. He's saying, do what everyone else does. I'm not giving them secrets. I'm not giving them any chopped wood or carried water. I am just going to let it play cool. No one's going to know what you guys do. Just do what everyone else does. Very smart coaching move there. Very smart. So I'd love to see that develop in this coming year. See how he develops as a professional coach with his collective group. Oh, can we call him a group now? Or we can't.
Yeah, what's their name?
That
is some branding.
That's a million-dollar question.
Wouldn't it be funny if they chose like a different like AC, like athletics club name?
should we have a game of guessing what it's going to be called?
MOC.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Do you reckon?
What's that?
Mike.
Mike Oliver Club. Mike and Oliver Club.
Olin Athletic.
Mike and Olin Athletic Club.
Do you reckon? I don't think they will. Like, could they go something Flagstaff?
I was going to say, like, Nike Flagstaff Elite or something. Yeah.
Flagstaff does have good branding behind it as a name, so it does.
Flagstaff Nike Athletics Club.
The Nike flag. Flag Nike.
Flag Smith.
Flag Smith. That's actually pretty
Flag
good.
Smith Elite.
Flag Smith Elite.
That's actually that's amazing. Yeah. Wait,
that's
we should,
that's
we
Morgan's
should, Flag Smith should, Elite. We should patent that so they don't get it.
All right. That URL, should we buy that?
Yeah, we should buy that so then they can't.
Flag Smith
and,
Elite.
And get the Instagram handle as well. Smart. So then they have to pay us for it.
Do you think they'd be annoyed if we did that right now and then we it was a parody account for their team?
Should we just start making it now?
Yeah. Flag Smith Elite.
Flag Smith Elite.
Okay, actually, no matter what they call themselves,
they're known as
that's Flag Smith they're Elite. Flag Smith Elite from now on. That's actually on them for waiting so long for a name that we had to come up with.
We had to take it.
That we had to name them.
You forced our hand.
And now they're Flag Smith Elite. Forever.
Well, this is the thing. Like Peach Dragons was such a cool name, and then they went to Union Track Club, and you're like, "Damn, why did you not go with the Dragons?"
Yeah,
Peach Dragons.
It'd be an epic.
It'd be funny if they just do some bland, fucking, basic Nike name, and you're like, "Dude, you had so much opportunity to do something cool."
Flagstaff Track Club.
Yeah,
that'd be lame.
That'd be pretty lame.
FTC.
FTC. Dark Sky Nike.
I think that's taken kind of.
Dark Sky presents Flagstaff featuring Michael Smith Elite.
I love it.
Just like the longest name possible.
I love it. To close out this one, well, I think maybe in the coming weeks we'll talk more about this stuff as well, but early goal setting, maybe we won't do like our individual personal goals for 2025. Like maybe that'll be a little bit further down the line, but do we have any predictions for 2025? I think it's we can have a more macro view
I think
right
this
now.
Is going to be the best well-structured track and field season we've had in 20, 30 years.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a
because
good one.
I think when we look at the way our track system has always been scheduled, it's so dislodged and just everywhere. Like, and the Olympics, like you can't. The Olympics always kind of interferes with our season. It's always mid-season. Everyone picks for that, then they try to keep going. This coming year, everyone's picking for one big race. September, and then everyone's building up to it. That build up, I think it's going to be amazing.
I'm actually
picking
for the first or second Grand Slam, but apart from that, yes.
But I think it's going to be You're amazing right. racing. I think it's going to be incredible to see the progression for each person, and I think it's going to be the best track and field season we have to follow. And I hope that it's documented well because it'll be great as a fan to watch.
I think you're right. Prediction.
Hopefully, it just sets the stage for every other year.
Yeah, sprint season seven
indoors, ending with world indoors, followed by 2 months of getting slammed, followed by 2 months of Diamond League, probably, followed by Worlds.
Diamond League final, Worlds.
And World Roads, if that's where you want to go.
Yeah, I am trying to race World Roads again this year.
Yeah,
I
want to do that too. From what you've described, and Hobbs talked to him about it, it's unreal.
I just don't because I want to be in Japan.
Yeah.
That's like the only, that's like the only reason.
Also, Japan's going to be, it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to stay in Japan.
Yeah.
Understandable. Speaking of Japan, Tokyo World Champs. How many? This doesn't have to be taken that seriously. How many top eights and medals do you think our team will have this year?
I think we'll do better.
How
than
many people
Olympics?
On the team?
I think we'll do better than the Olympics.
Well, didn't the Olympics go kind of?
We got two medals.
Two medals is hard. Never to be taken for granted.
Don't take that for granted.
I didn't say I was.
No, but
the top eight part wasn't done. Yeah. Well.
Sorry. If top
well,
eight.
It was a sandwich between.
Top eight in medals, I think we're going to do dramatically better. I think we've got a great team. I think we've got really good energy going into this year. And I think there's going to be a lot of medals there. And we might have some medals that you might not expect.
I'm going to say eight top eights.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's a nice. That's a nice round number.
We'll put that on the whiteboard.
3.5.
We need to
write
that up. 3.5. Yeah,
that's your right.
That's your what's your parlay? What's your parlay?
3.5 medals. Just continued momentum moving forwards, so that by the time we get to LA, that'll be like 15 medals.
We'll get everyone medals, and then Ritz gets coach of the year.
For what?
For being coach of the year.
But who's is that an award? What
award?
Cup
awards.
It's a coffee. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mike Smith awards it to the next coach.
Who do we give it to this year?
Yeah. Mike Smith has like been employee of the month every year, and then they give it to Dave. And then Mike's like, I'm going to leave Nike and be the assistant coach of OAC, and then Morgan's dreams will come true.
It all comes true. Amazing. Well, I think that's a pretty good note to end this year on. Is there anything else we need to impart before we leave?
Well, it's good to see that we haven't been cancelled yet, boys. Another year down.
Another year in the books.
We're still here.
Still here.
2025. It's going to be our best year yet.
Yeah, we're going to keep building up this massive fan base that we have, this cult and this family we have, and then eventually we're going to take over the entire world.
Everything.
We're going to take over everything.
That's the master plan.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, once again, I hope that everyone has a great celebration, a great New Year's, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again in 2025. Wow. Crazy. Boys from Coffee Club. Bye.